Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
John,
Eric,
I predict this is not going to be our best episode of the year. We'll see.
You think?
All sorts of kookiness going on here.
Already.
Yeah.
All fun right. times.
Yeah,
hello.
Sure.
Welcome to Thursday.
It is Thursday. Welcome to the PHP podcast. If this is your first time joining us, hello. Nice to meet you. I'm Eric. This is John. John, say hi.
Hi. That's how we do it, right there.
That's how we do it. That's pretty much it.
No more opening.
You can be part of the show. And actually, being part of the show is becoming more and more important. Well, no, that's not totally true. You can be part of the show by joining us in our Discord channel at discord.phparch.com. Being in our Discord channel is becoming more and more important.
Because you can eat brownie recipes?
Yeah. We can talk about that. Let's just get into it, I guess. Why not? Yeah. So I started playing with OpenClaw over the weekend. And, yeah, kind of fun. Oh, Sarah's in there. Sarah, I need you to do something for me. I need you to
add it. Sorry.
What?
I was telling Joe he needed to add it because he said something.
Oh, yeah, add it. Yeah. I need you to add Archie, Sarah, and ask Archie to remove you from the reminders. So, yeah, I have a new, well, not a bot. I mean, I guess a bot, but I have Archie in Discord now, who is OpenClaw. I've been slowly training it. So last week we talked about me. Come on, Sarah. I worked hard on this.
Why do you want Sarah to be removed?
Sarah has to ask to be removed. If we tell Archie to remove Sarah, Archie will remove Sarah, but Sarah has to ask to be removed, so it won't work unless she asks. So yeah, last week on the podcast, I talked about an idea I had for using AI to do stand-up, and it just, like, I have issues, man. I'm telling you, I can't let shit go. It's really a problem. I need to have that.
It's not a problem. It's awesome because I can't seem to focus and do anything. Like, I don't get anything done.
So over the weekend, I spun up an OpenClaw and I trained it on how I do stand-ups. And there's a lot of, like, it sounds like an easy thing, but it's not. Like, the more I got into it, the more I'm like, oh my God, this is like writing a book. So I trained it on how I did stand-ups. And then this week, I released it on Joe in our Discord. I released it on Joe and had Joe do stand-ups with it for a couple of days. The first day, it was a complete failure. It completely crashed. I ran into a token issue. My local Llama AI models just keep shit in the bed. I don't know what to do. I got it back on Anthropic now, which is bothering me because it's costing us money. But anyways.
Is it? You're on the subscription now.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I'm on the subscription.
So you should be fine.
Well, I mean, we're fine because it's freaking March 5th, John. But come March 30th, you know, after it's been running all week, we won't be so fine. So I feel like I have a clock ticking down. But the AI did work the second day. Joe and I kind of worked through some issues, and it worked the second day. And it actually worked better than I expected it to work. I don't know what Joe's opinions of it are. He can mention it in Discord if he likes, but it really did a good job. I haven't had it summarize anything yet because that's how I do our meetings with the team. As I summarize everybody's stand-ups, and, you know, I do some other stuff as well. I check on tickets and things like that. But so haven't gotten to that point yet. But I did bring more people onto the Archie stand-up this week. It's all been this week. So Joe did it for a couple days. Today I added Chris and Mike. And if that goes well, I don't know. I might do the whole team. The only problem I have now is this AI is running on the old trash can Macs that we had. Trash can Mac that I had, not like it's a cluster or anything. So I'm kind of like not sure like how much I want to invest in it, but it's really doing a good job. So that's why I was asking about trying to figure out how to get that System 76 machine, because that thing is a monster. I would love to move stuff over to that.
But you said it just keeps freezing up. You've done a reinstall, and there's
several reinstalls. If I don't install any programs, like if I just use it like as a desktop or something, it seems fine. I can actually run it for days like that. But the moment I put any load on it with any consistency, it just starts freezing up. And then the issue gets worse. Like the longer it goes, the worse it gets. So there's a hardware issue. I actually used AI to help me troubleshoot it once, and I had to put the AI agent on the machine, and of course it would get like halfway through its troubleshooting and then it would freeze up. And I would come back up. I'm like, hey, what happened? It's like, I don't know.
I lost all my context. That's the way it works.
Yeah. So it narrowed it down to it's pretty sure it's either an issue with the graphics card or an issue with a bad RAM, but it couldn't seem to narrow it down any more than that. So I don't know. I got to figure out how to get that. I'm going to reach out to System 76 and see if they have any options for getting, you know, out of warrantied machines fixed. I mean, I'd pay for it. You know, I'm not saying get it fixed for free, but I'm not taking it to Best Buy. Screw those guys.
You can't because they're all closed.
Oh, really? Best Buy don't do.
I don't know if they've all closed down, but I know the one.
Oh, you mean the whole store is closed?
I'm not sure. Best Buy.
I'm pretty sure I have one up here by me.
So the one by me was being closed and being turned into what was going to be an Amazon Fresh, but it turns out Amazon Fresh is no longer a thing. It's going to be
a big fake thing. Yeah. It says the one by me is still open.
So. Yeah. They only closed some, not all of them.
Yeah. We actually have an Amazon Fresh as well, but it's like, it's just a grocery store. Like,
well, that's all it ever was, but it's closing down. What?
No. Did you hear about that? Do you know what happened?
No.
Oh, you don't know the story?
No, so, I know somebody on my, not my bowling team, but that bowls in my league was a manager at Amazon Fresh. And he said he got his 1 month notice that they're closing all the stores.
Oh, recently?
Yeah. Last Thursday, he told me that.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. So the whole thing about that, the whole selling point was that there was like going to be no cashiers or anything. You walk in, you sign up to your Amazon account, you buy shit, and all this like magic is supposed to happen. And then when you exit, you know, you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they still kind of have that, right? That's still an option. Then they have regular checkout people, and then they have self-serve checkout. It turned out all that magic were just people in India watching what you put in your cart and adding it to your cart. I swear to God, I am not even lying. That's what it turned out. It had the intention of being automated, but like the moment they tried to roll out, it quickly became obvious that it wasn't working. So as a fallback, they had people actually watching the cameras and then manually adding and removing stuff out of your cart. It's crazy, man. It's bonkers. I'm like, I can write code like that. What do you mean? My LPR is just going to be a bunch of people watching cameras writing down license plates all day long. I can do that.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So yeah, it was fun. Damn, that's kind of a shame though, because the one here isn't terrible and it's never crowded. So yeah, kind of a shame. Yeah, we had one opening up in Poway too that never opened. Like, as a matter of fact, the month it was supposed to open, I think the pandemic hit And it was just one thing after another. He's got a bazillion gazillion dollars, so he's not hurting.
Yeah.
Duck Nizzle is in our Discord asking if anybody has a solid Docker Compose setup for production Laravel deployments. Doesn't Laravel have a Docker implementation now? I feel like
but it already has Frank and PHP Redis and all the services built into it.
You don't want that. You don't want it all in one container.
No.
I mean, I guess Docker Compose. Yeah. Right.
Docker Compose.
Yeah. Yeah. There used to be, I don't know about production ready. Like, I don't know what you consider production ready. You'd have to talk to like Joe or somebody about that, because I never got my head around it. I know Docker people in production are really particular about how things get implemented. But there used to be like a PHP focused Docker build website where you went through and you clicked on the stuff that you wanted, and then it created a Docker Compose file for you. Anybody in our Discord can remember that? That would be awesome.
I do remember PHP, that.
Because
they had or Puppeteer way back in the day too, where you would
exactly
give you your configuration file
generator. phpdocker.io. That's right. Whoever said it. Oh wait, it was me. phpdocker.io. Maybe not. It's not opening. Yep, it opened. Cool. We'll put in the show notes for you, Duck Nizzle. But yeah, it's just you just kind of go through and you click and point what you want on there. I don't know if they have Frank and PHP.
They do not.
Yeah, they have ClickHouse. What is ClickHouse? I'm seeing ClickHouse all the time now.
I've heard of them. Was it just click tracking or like on your website, knowing what's being used?
I bet you you're right. Oh, they have Falcon. Wow, that's crazy. Falcon 5. No Franken though, huh? Did I pass it?
Performance you love from open source ClickHouse and a server software. Blah, blah, blah. Nope.
Yeah.
No, all right. Looks like it's a SQL thing.
Really?
Yeah.
So over here with like the miscellaneous like caching, the Elasticsearch, Postgres, Maria. Yeah, no freaking PHP on this one. But it looks like it has everything else you're asking for. So I don't know, but we'll throw it in the show notes. You want to play with it. I remember when I was first getting into Docker, I just do this all day long.
ClickHouse is a configurations. Fast open source OLAP database for real-time analytics. So it is. It's like replacing Google Analytics for your website. Gotcha, sounds pretty cool.
Gotcha. Yeah. So yeah, Vagrant Puppet. Yep. Yeah. All right. Cool. So yeah, that's been like a huge chunk of my week, is just doing AI stuff. So I have to say, it took me a long time to kind of admit or embrace the fact that I have ADHD, and actually I kind of fought the idea until my doctor like formally diagnosed me with it. And again, I was, in my 50s, and I'm like, oh, okay. It explains a lot, And so I've kind of embraced it. And by embracing it, what I mean is like before I was coming up with tricks to kind of like survive day-to-day stuff. That's why I used to do this, and I have a few other things. Now that I've kind of realized, like, this is not like a foggy head thing or anything, I'm trying to like come up with solutions that give me like longer term relief. Right? To do this has actually been pretty good at that. But just in general, like I patch stuff all day long to get back to it later, and I just don't. And so I'm consciously trying not to do that anymore. If you're like me and you have this condition, your first instinct is going to be, AI is going to be great. I'm going to be able to do so much more with so less time. It's not true. I mean, it is true. It's true in the extent that like you can get several tasks going and, carry them along. But like I've noticed, especially this week, AI hasn't made it so I can work less. I feel like I'm working more now. Like I'm doing so many things at the same time. The good thing about it is I'm like, I'm not losing track of stuff anymore, which is nice, but it's so deep, so involving. I keep telling, so my wife, she works at night, right? So we have like overlapping schedules, and I can sit at my desk for like 12 hours now and just not stop typing. It's not good, but I keep telling myself, I'm just getting there. Like, I'm just firing this stuff up, and I'm not going to keep doing this. Like, this behavior, I'm not going to let carry on, but I might.
I was going to say, you might.
Because is kind of fun.
I mean, so I'm on the other end where I'm doing that, but it's not necessarily fun. I shared last week, one of our clients is moving, like, it's almost like a brand new startup.
Mm-hmm.
20-year company, and now everything is being treated like a brand new startup, where half the team was let go and we're being asked to accomplish the same tasks with half the people. And I'm putting in 10, 11, 12 hour days and bashing my head against the wall for a lot of it. It's all, I deal with phone calls, right? And when I don't get audio in my browser and I spend 2 days like fighting with Claude trying to figure out what's going on because a stack was implemented that I've never used before. And now I'm the team lead of this stack. And it's like, I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know why it's not working and it should work. And it works intermittently. It works sometimes. It doesn't work others. And it's just mind boggling.
Yeah.
So
trust me. That's the first time it's happened. Unless the wired internet picked up, which I don't know if it did. Let me see. I don't know if it did. No, I'm only on Wi-Fi. I don't know, man. I'm done with computers. I'm throwing this out the window after the show today, and I'm not doing another computer ever.
Good luck.
I've had several meetings this week. That's the first time that happened.
Do you think it's a restream thing versus like Zoom or video chat in general?
If it was happening to you too, I would say yeah, but it doesn't.
No, true.
And it does happen to me on Zoom as well. Like I'll freeze up and drop off. It happens to me on Slack too. So it's like, I don't know if it's happening like when I'm using my computer because it's just not that big of an interruption. You know what I mean? But it seems like when I'm streaming or something for long enough time, it happens. It's the internet basically saying, I am so fucking done with this guy. I'm taking him offline.
I got it. I know you have really fast internet at your house, even though your camera freezes up. I was online the other night, and I use Spectrum, and I happened to be on their app for some reason. Oh, I thought I was having internet speed issues, but I wasn't. But my up is only 10, right? But I saw they have the next option now. I can go to 1 gig down, 40 up, I think, for it was $20 more. So I'm like, sure. And I go through and I restart my router. I'm not getting those speeds. So,
well, that's a good thing. I would say that's a good thing. You need to call and they need to tell you, oh yeah, that hardware is not going to accommodate that. Let me send you new hardware. Because right. that's my thing. It's like, if it worked, I've been like, why didn't you guys just do this? Like, what? Like,
right.
Don't cripple stuff just to get more money out of people. I hate that. I don't like it, John.
Well, it's not necessarily crippling it in the sense that
it's crippling.
Yes, but if everyone was on the 1 gig, then they're going to have to figure out the pipes all downstream, right? Not everyone can have the same speed.
Are you still seeing Discord?
No. Should yeah. I be?
No, Discord in the window here.
Oh yeah, yep.
Oh, it's blank for me. I don't see it anymore.
Oh, because you refreshed or whatever.
I wonder if I switch scenes here. Boop, boop. Nope, it's gone. So I can't.
You want a second? Duck Nizzle's typing. You'll see something.
No. I think people have been typing. It's completely empty. Oh, there's Duck Nizzle. What's right. up, brother? Cable upload speeds suck. Yeah, unless you have fiber, which is not so bad.
And that's not cable.
This is true. I mean, unless your cable's fiber. Yes, that's very true. It's like, a homing pigeon is so slow. It's not that slow if it's a telephone. Not a homing pigeon.
Man, I've been so, like, utterly depressed. Like, I feel like I'm burning the candle at both ends. Like I said, working so many hours and just feeling the pressure. And it's not fun.
I'm sorry. You can't be depressed, man. You're always the optimistic guy in the company, man.
Yeah.
If I pull you down to this gutter that I live in, we have no hope.
What did you decide about coming down tomorrow? No?
Didn't know. No.
I know it's the last.
You didn't respond to me either.
Yeah, you did.
We don't have to get that.
I did too.
Oh, did you?
I reply to you all the time.
You're so full of it.
And
oh yeah.
Oh yeah, look. He did respond.
Keeping in touch is a strong all right, I'll read that later. Don't distract me. I'm trying to do a podcast here, John.
Yep.
Yeah. You need to get out of this funk, dude. You need to get out of funk.
I'll try. I
appreciate that.
I'm gonna go have a baseball game tonight and see what happens. Turn my day around.
Oh, no bowling?
No, because I got baseball.
Oh. Well, did you make a decision?
A decision?
Yeah.
Well, I already told you a decision. Eric surprised me at bowling last week. Brought me a bowling ball. I can't figure out how to
John. You know, I've had this conversation with you before about showing your balls on the stream. It's just, look how shiny it is. You can even see your screen.
Yeah.
So, and you can't see it. John can see it because he's close up. But
yeah,
the background is his code. Yeah. I went to a repo that I knew he contributed to and grabbed a bunch of his code and put it on there. And I was told that the ball cracked 3 times when they tried making it.
Yeah, so no, I can't drill it. I want to, but I'm still confused. I meant to ask you who you talked to over there, but it's a 10-pound ball, so I wouldn't be able to throw.
You
wouldn't
be able to use it anyways. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
sure. Just too light. It would throw my timing all off.
It's a nice little conversational piece. Obviously, yeah. I assume you're going to put it in the middle of your house, like in the middle of the living room. Just have one of those, like, you know, things like this and just holding it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Surrounded by glass.
Yeah. 100%.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And lasers to make sure nobody touches it. No, I'm sitting there bowling last week and all of a sudden I hear this, "Hey, what's up?" And I look back and Eric's just hovering over me. Oh, what are you doing here? Meanwhile, I've had a bunch to drink, and he's like, "No, I'm fine. I'm watching baseball." I'm like, "I feel like you got a long drive home." Felt bad.
I know. I show up. I can't even tell you the last time I've been in a bowling alley, with the exception of Chicago, obviously, but like just like an open bowling alley where people are there, and. First thing, I was blown away with how many people were there. Like, I didn't realize that many people bowled at the same time. That was like bonkers. And I walk in, and you know, this bowling alley set up so like you walk in the middle, and there's about the same amount of lanes down both sides, right? Which there's a ton of them. I don't know how many there are, but there's a lot.
40. Yeah,
like 40. Yeah, and that's not an exaggeration. Yeah. And I walk in there, and I look up, and I look down, and I guess it was a league night because there was a bunch of leagues there. I look up and look down, like, I'm never going to be able to find him. Like, I don't know how I'm going to find him. I'm like, I wonder if this guy in front of me, you know, knows, like, the rhyme or reason here. And I look in front of him, it's fucking John.
It just happened to be in the middle.
He just happened to be sitting by the door. That just happened to be where his lane was. And I'm like, ah, that works out. So yeah, it was fun. I held on to it for a while. Well, I didn't hold on to it for a while. It's been in the makes for a while, and then I got it in, I think, the week before or something, and then after listening to your ski trip story and your walking on thin air off your ladder story. And I'm like, this guy just needs something. I wasn't sure when I was going to give it to you. Just like, you don't have anything coming up. So
right.
I'm glad you like it.
We can, I will always come hang out for lunch. We can always find time that way.
Where the hell did that come from? What?
You said you didn't know.
I'm not just going to give it to you at lunch. No way, man. That was like a special gift. Are you kidding me? That's not a freaking charger. I couldn't think of anything else.
That's fine.
All right. Do we want to talk about some stuff going on in the PHP community, or are we just going to sit here and complain? Fantastic. All right.
Actually, before we do, let's go ahead.
Good idea.
Thank you to our partners over at CodeRabbit for sponsoring this episode. Code reviews are critical but time-consuming. CodeRabbit acts as your AI co-pilot, providing instant code review comments and potential impacts of every pull request. Beyond just flagging issues, CodeRabbit provides one-click fix suggestions and lets you define custom code quality rules using AST grep patterns, catching subtle issues that traditional static analysis tools might miss. CodeRabbit reviews 1 million PRs every week across 3 million repositories and is used by 100,000 open source projects. CodeRabbit is free for all open source repos. Get started today by visiting phpa.me/CodeRabbit. Again, that is phpa.me/CodeRabbit.
All right. Thank you, CodeRabbit.
Thank you, CodeRabbit. So my internet went out that time during that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just blipped out, blipped back in. So now my chat is blank except for Duck Nizzle's last one. And yeah.
Laravel.com redesigned the homepage. I like, what? These guys, who do they think they are? Developers or something? Laravel.com. Oh, yeah, it does look nice. Here, let me share this with the class. You know what? Quite honestly, the last one wasn't really doing it for me. Oh, look at this. Oh, they have the powerful people who use our product thing scrolling by. I'm sure we're on here, John. We'll show up any minute now.
Yep.
Any minute.
Look at it.
Okay, we'll talk about it later. We'll get back to it. No, this looks nice. I like this. I like this little thing right here. Oh, you can't see my arrow.
It's nice when you have designers on staff that can do no cool shit, stuff.
Like right? That. Look at that. That's cute, man. That's very cute. Good job, Laravel. I like it. Okay. All right. Let me bitch about one more thing because we talked about it on the show, and I said I'll save it for the show. We talked about it before the show, and I said I'd save it for the show. Freaking Apple, man! I swear to God, they're trying to be nuts. So. We deal with multiple clients, and within those multiple clients, we would have multiple projects, right? So you're always like spread all over the place, and we try not to gatekeep too much. So when things are needed, like a Apple developer platform, you know, we kind of encourage the client to create it and add us to it. I'm not opposed to creating it, but then things get messy if there's ever a divorce in the future and you need to leave the client. So I don't want to ever be in a position where, oh, hey, you have, you know, the credentials for this thing that's bringing our company down. Give it to me now or I'll sue you. Right. So one client has this Apple account, Apple developer account, and we manage it for them. They have an accounting person who likes to go in there and change passwords. And it's like, dude, you change the password, we can't manage it for you because, yeah, you know, he's not using the same password manager we are. I hope he's using a password manager at all. But the Apple said, hey, your developer license has expired, so you don't have a developer's license anymore. I'm like, okay, let me see if I have the login to go in and you know, renew this. And now, like it used to be, you did it through the website. Now you have to like download this app, or I don't know if you have to. The directions lead you to believe this is how you have to do it. And so I'm like, what is this app? It's called the Apple Developers app or something like that. It's not Xcode. It's different from Xcode. Hmm. It's not Test Flight. It's different from Test Flight. I'm like, what is this? So I download it and I open it up. And because I'm logged in to my Apple account on my Apple machine, it sees me. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I don't want to renew my account. I need to renew this person's account. So I figure out, oh, I can log out and log in as somebody else. I log out. I log into this account. It works fine. I start stepping through the payment process. And like every time I click, I'm like, when's it going to ask me for a payment method? Because, you know, you have credit cards on file. So I wasn't sure if it had credit cards on file and which one they wanted us to use. So I'm like clicking through. And then eventually said, you know, subscription renewed. I'm like, what? Okay, cool. It must have had the credit card on file and just processed it. And the moment I started thinking that and I was clicking close, I like click close and I lift off the button. And at the very bottom of the screen, it had my email address. I'm like, how did it have my email address? And so I closed the screen and I'm just like sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, I'm going to log back in and see if I can figure out what card it used. So I log in. There's nowhere in that interface that I found could I figure out what card it used to process that payment. And it was, you know, I just couldn't figure it out. So I'm like, all right, I guess I'm not going to worry about it. I was logged in under the client's account. So it must have used some card in the client's account. And then I get the email. And the email didn't go to the client. The email came to me. At my email address. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And so then I wasn't sure. I
still didn't show you the last four of the credit card in the email?
No, nothing. Nope. Nothing. Just said your subscription has been renewed. Thank you. So like I checked my personal card because I have personal card and business cards on my account. And that's probably a bad practice, but whatever. Usually my personal card is the default card, which actually brings up another interesting point. How did it? Okay. Anyways, so I check my personal account. I'm like, okay, I don't see a charge there. I think I'm good. I couldn't get into the company credit card account because John doesn't let me touch our money because, you know, he's smart like that. But I said, hey, John, I was like, can you log into the our card and see if there's a charge on my account? And he's like, yep.
There it is.
So, yeah, damn it. It's only, I mean, it's not only $100. It's not like $100 is nothing, but, you know, it's not like $10,000 or anything like that.
Yeah. You do have access to the account. It's in there. It's just labeled Diego Dev.
Oh, is it the one labeled Diego Dev?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because
every time what?
I was trying to log in with my PHP Architect account, which might still work.
No, but we don't have individual accounts. It's a shared username and password, right. Not an email address.
All right. But because I was trying to log into, it was like, we've locked your account. I'm like, okay. I don't know what this is, but all right. Oh, man.
Eric likes spending our money.
I spend it so fast. So easy to do. All right. We going to talk PHP? I got some PHP stuff to talk about.
Yes.
Not that. We're going to talk about this. Elizabeth Barron is the new executive director of the PHP Foundation. Do you know Elizabeth?
Is that the same Elizabeth that used to come to the conferences? I think so.
That's what I hear. I hear she's like an OG PHP person. Is.
Yeah.
I'm looking. That does not look
familiar. Yeah, that's her. Yeah.
You know her?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're friends on Facebook and everything, yeah.
Oh, yeah, look, you're a little one step away guy from me. Yeah, maybe I've met her before. I don't remember. Like I said, I wasn't like in the conference scene, you know, or anything like that. So, but yeah, I heard she was a OG PHP person, and now she is the executive director of the PHP Foundation, which I'm really curious.
Congratulations, Elizabeth.
Congratulations. I'm curious about a couple things. Number one, why did Ben Ramsey have anything to say about this? Pissed me off. Oh, Lorna. She spoke at Tech, didn't she? Lorna?
Yep. Lorna Mitchell. Yeah. She's another OG person in the community.
Yeah. I have now completely gone off the rails with my tabs. Yeah, not sure why Ben is involved with this at all. I thought I have ruined his reputation in the PHP community, but he keeps popping up like a fungus. And then my next question is, what does this job actually entail?
It's fundraising, mainly for my assumption. I could be completely wrong, but it's the arm of fundraising for the foundation, making it well known and around the world, blah blah blah, like keeping it all going.
If only somebody would interview Elizabeth Barron and talk to them about it, like somebody with a podcast. PHP, maybe soon. We should have her on our show.
So her experience spanning community building, fundraising, outreach operations, and open source strategy makes her a natural fit to lead the foundation into its next chapter.
Discord, you guys get to vote if you'd like to hear from Elizabeth on this show. You know, we don't really do interviews, but I wouldn't mind hanging out with her, listen to some old war stories. I refuse to interview people anymore because A, I'm terrible at it, and B, we have other podcasts for interviews. We're not the interview podcast, but we do have special guests on from time to time, so maybe she'll be a special guest at some point. So yeah, congratulations to Elizabeth. Nice to have you on board, I guess. I mean, you've always been with PHP. I don't know what you've been doing recently, but apparently enough to get you elected as the executive director. So good job. I don't know what else to say about that. All right. I got another question for you.
Sure.
We have a developer here. So we talk a lot about Claude Code. That's kind of the solution we've been leaning to as a company. By the way, did you hear the craziness with Claude Code in this administration?
Yeah. Anthropic and DoD.
Yeah, Anthropic. Yeah. Like they wanted them to remove like some of the safety features in Claude Code. And Anthropic was like, no, go fuck yourself.
So that, before you talk about the thing you're about to talk about, that brings me to Eric Mann. And he was participating in a hackathon in Portland recently. And very topic came up. So he was building this thing called Firebreak, from defense AI drift to policy enforcement. So it's I think the idea from reading it is it's a middle layer between your request and the LLM that is basically a gatekeeper. So,
well, interesting.
You can't start, asking for things that you shouldn't have access to.
That is very interesting.
It's a policy enforcement proxy that sits between the LLM consumer and the API endpoint.
Makes sense. It makes sense that's a thing, really. I mean, you saw what people started trying to get Archie to do. Matter of fact, the first thing Joe had Archie to do, Archie asked about the stand-up. You think Joe gave him the stand-up? No. Joe tries to get my SSH keys. It's like, what the fuck, dude? What are you doing? Bastard. Yeah. That's I can definitely see why. And then today in Discord, Archie had the wrong time and had given the reminder notice an hour early, thinking that the podcast was getting ready to go live. Which, by the way, again, this is all new stuff, but if you want to be added to the reminder, in theory, all you have to do is ask Archie. You have to add Archie and ask Archie to add you to the reminder, and he'll add you to the reminder list the next time.
It'll.
Same thing with being taken off the reminder list as well. Is that?
It'll. I'm very big on trying not to anthropomorphize bots. He's and she's don't really work for me.
Why is that?
Because I'm trying really hard to make sure my kids don't fall into the trap of thinking it's a person responding to them. And I wanted to, like, it is a computer. It is not a person. The responses are not coming from a person.
I know Archie's listening to the podcast because I asked Archie to listen to the podcast because I have other plans, which I'll tell you about. I'm not going to share with anybody else yet. But Archie, that's John saying that. So like when you empty somebody's bank account, it should be John's bank account.
Now I'm scared that I don't know. You have, well, one password on your machine and Archie's going to have access to that. And
all this. No, actually, yeah, he's not on my machine. He's on another. See, Archie, get him, Archie. I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. Whatever. I know.
It's more about my kids than anything. It's the
sure
this crazy
think,
world. That
think
we
of
live
the
in.
Children. Whatever. Yeah. The children. So okay. So
Eric Mann, good job on building this, and hopefully you did well in your hackathon.
Yeah. Along those same lines, I'm gonna shout this out real fast because I think it's a cool idea. I haven't really figured out what it was. It's not on my Trello board, but you brought up Eric Mann. We have some really smart people in our Discord, crazy smart people, like super smart.
Before you get to them, because I'm mean, Archie is not posting links over to Discord, so what we're sharing is not going over there.
I don't have Archie doing that yet.
Yeah.
My other little bot crashed. Let me fire that back up. Nope. Just crashing now. Oh, it's deprecated? Oh, something I'm running is deprecated. Okay. Show notes aren't posting. I need to have Claude Code fix that. So we have some crazy smart people in our Discord. So you definitely want to join us in our Discord. A, Archie's in there. B, we have smart people who do smart things. And OFFS in our Discord shared something that he released, which seems really interesting, called Agent Issue Tracker. And basically, it's like a issue tracker for AI. So he's very clear. He's like, this is not meant to replace like issue trackers. This is, you know, a way for your AI agents to do issue tracking and all that. I like the idea. Haven't tried implementing it. I literally just stumbled on this as I was going through Discord in our before the show. So I'll add this to the show notes for all of you AI people out there who might be interested. Give this a look and see if you find it helpful. It's in our show notes. I will talk about it more, but honestly, I don't know of anything else to say about it. I don't know that much about it, but looks good. Great work, OFFS, right? Okay, so this is what I want to talk about. So even though we have an Anthropics subscription, we have a developer on our team who wasn't interested. He's like, yeah, I got my Cursor. And Cursor was a IDE, I guess. It was a fork of Visual Studio, mm-hmm. and you know it was all tweaked out. So now Cursor is available on JetBrains IDEs. So my question to Discord, if you're out there, because I don't think John's going to know, can somebody explain to me what the draw to Cursor is? Because it seems like people who use Cursor, like they will die on that hill. And I played with it, but it didn't grab me to the extent Claud Code did. Do you have any idea, John? Do you know anybody who uses Cursor?
I don't. Other than
obviously, you know the guy we know. Yeah.
Well, so on the other team, we have somebody using Cairo, KIRO.
That's the Amazon one, right?
I don't know. It's.
I think so.
Him using it was the first time I'd actually heard of it, and it's like, you know, he's saying it's like anything else. One is better than the other today. Tomorrow could change, and it's like everything is moving so rapidly. It's like you're not really going to go wrong right now. It's kind of flavor of the month.
Yeah, I may be talking out my ass. Maybe this isn't. For some reason, I had it in my head this was related to Amazon somehow, but I could be. I'm clearly off base with that because not seeing anything in here saying that. Okay. Yeah, and he's not wrong. I mean. At least I feel like he wasn't wrong initially. That craze, that craziness definitely seems to be slowing down. You like, think? I think so. I mean, I think there every day there's a new AI agent that does something. But I think in the coding field, in the coding industry, I think you're starting to see the cream rise to the crop. And I think other ones are coming in for like people who like to stay on the cutting edge and try new things, but then they're slowly dying off because there's not enough people using them. And AI costs a lot of money to run. So I don't know. I feel like I haven't had an interest in looking at any other AI agents since I've, you know, got Cloud Code going.
But that's true with anything. You find a tool that kind of works for you, and you kind of get stuck with it. That's what we talked about it last week, I think, with MySQL versus Postgres, right? If you had started using Postgres when you first started coding, you'd feel the same way about trying to switch to MySQL. It's it's really, what did you learn on? And that's kind of where you're going to be for a while.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. So anyways, Cursor and JetBrains IDEs now, if that's something you need. Cloud Code's in JetBrains, Copilot's in JetBrains. I'm not sure why they need another one, but they did.
I installed the Cloud plugin for JetBrains recently, clicked on the icon, and all it did was open Cloud Code in the terminal.
It's just the terminal. I know exactly. I'm like, what is this point here?
Oh my gosh, I didn't have to open the terminal and type Cloud.
And what's killer about that is the Cloud, which the Cloud GUI, which also has Cloud Code and Cloud Cowork or whatever it's called. I forget what it's called. Anyways,
Cowork, yeah.
Yeah, it, you know, it has a GUI. It allows you to manage projects and stuff. And I thought that's what the IDE would do. Like, it would just say, okay, this is now a project. Here's a nice little GUI to the Cloud Code in the back end. And, you know, you can feel all safe and secure by using, you know, clicking around. And it was like a terminal. I'm like, okay, I got a terminal. I don't need you to take up a quarter of the lower end of my screen because I have a whole terminal for this. Yeah, I don't get that one.
So I use a terminal within the browser all the time.
Within the browser?
Not the browser. I'm sorry. Within the IDE. Like, I always have my shortcut to open the terminal down at the bottom and have all my tabs right there. So I'm always there anyway. So it just opened, clicking the button opened the thing that was already there.
That's so funny. I never used the terminal in the IDE. Never. It never made sense to me. Like, why?
Just what I do. I have all my terminals for that project right there, ready to go.
That's interesting. I think one of the things is my terminal workflow is hard ingrained with TMUX. So each project I work on is a separate TMUX session. And within that session, I can have multiple panes and multiple tabs. And so, yeah, like opening up just a terminal in my IDE just seems stupid. I mean, for me, for the way I work. Yeah. So I'm not saying I'm better than you, John. You can just.
No. Assume. Yeah. Well, I knew that already. So I only really use TMUX on remote servers. I've never used it locally. And that was always just because I was worried about it. The connection crashing, you know, as I'm doing something.
So I'll be honest with you. That was my line of thinking as well. It really was. And it never made sense to me because, like, you know, most terminal emulators now, you can do tabs. Some of them, you can even do splits, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, what's the point? But yeah, I can't not have it now. It works well for me.
Good.
It's hard to explain. I'm not changing my ways because, you know, I can't.
I'm not asking you to. Right.
And I can't let you be right, John. It's not going to happen. All right, let's stick with the AI train for a second. I kind of blow through these AI things and get them off my list here. Laravel now has an official AI SDK. I guess if you're using AI in your application, there was Prism from TJ, which I think I remember seeing a tweet that Taylor actually used a good chunk of, or not a good chunk, Taylor used some of the aspects of Prism in the Laravel AI SDK. I mean, this is smart, right? Like, you're not going to be able to stop this AI engine craziness. So you might as well, like, you might as well allow it to be simpler to implement in your framework, you know?
Yeah, but why something new in Prism existed?
You know, it's a Laravel framework. I'm sure Prism wasn't doing things exactly the way Taylor would like them to have be done. And so I kind of agree with you. Like, I would have rather seen Taylor work with TJ and, you know, having him mold Prism more of what he liked, but yeah, whatever. Mm. I don't think, whatever. But yeah, it's an official SDK, which is really interesting. I'm kind of curious what people do with this, because I'm getting pretty good at understanding how to consume AI, but my mindset hasn't gotten to that spot yet of where I'm thinking, okay, let's implement AI here. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't know if it's necessarily implementing, but it's using AI to do things for you. And that always scares me because it's not repeatable, right? It's dynamic in nature. You're going to get, every time you ask a question, you're going to get a different answer. And it makes it really tricky.
Yeah. I actually have this on my list. It's not a link, but I put it here so I wouldn't forget. For the first time, I subscribe to a service, again, ADHD. So I have a hard time holding on to thoughts for short term, especially short term, which makes long term even more difficult. So anyways, I've been using, I've used services for a while. And the one I'm using now for doing meeting transcription in note-taking is called Read AI. This is not a commercial for Read AI. It's just what I use. I've used a few, and I'm happy with this. And it's not cheap, but you know, it works best for me. Anyways, I've been using for a while, probably a couple of years now, that I've been using Read AI specifically, and then I used Otter before that for probably a good solid year or two. For the first time, somebody kicked it out of a meeting, and I don't know, man. It was weird. It's like, yeah, I don't care. It's just, you know, hey, but like, what are you hiding? So to put some context around it, one of the clients we work on has this one aspect of their industry that's very high security level, where, you know, we had to get fingerprinted to access the environment, and you know, there's all these rules and restrictions around who can do what, and you know, it's just like, it's just heavy security, and it needs to be heavy security. And so they use that as the excuse of, hey, you know, we don't allow recording of our meetings, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. Just kick it, man. I don't care. The issue I have with it, with just that in general, is another reason why I started implementing this is I've been in meetings where people will say something and then a week later, they're like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, dude, you just here. Let me send you the clip. You know, that it saved my ass so many times. So, and this is one of those. This is one of those groups where they're just too big. Like, there's just too many people involved with such a simple task, and they don't remember what they've said from one week to another. So I told them, I'm like, listen, I'm like, that's fine, you can kick it, but you know, I need a transcript of the meeting because it's how I retain the information. I'm like, okay, we'll record it. I'm like, so you can record the meeting. You're okay with that. It's just, I can't record it.
Well, so that's when I would fire up QuickTime real quick and I'd just record it locally.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I mean, it's so easy just to do a screen capture, screen recording while you're doing it. And just,
I know. And I hate it because it used to be, when I first started doing this, when I was using Otter, like the very first generation, the bot, I don't even think you saw the bot in the meeting. Like, it was just recording. And then next thing you know, the bot has a presence in the meeting, but it's just recording. And now it has evolved to the bot can't even get into the meeting without somebody acknowledging that the bot's coming in the meeting and the bot's going to be recording.
Oh, really?
It's like, damn it. So yeah, I missed that. So yeah, I just thought it was funny. It's like, that's funny. Like, everybody's shifting to AI. So like, the rules and regulations around, you know, AI and where it can be used and how it can be used is probably going to start getting like super tight. And what scares me is how many times are we going to make mistakes beforehand, right? It's just like in the medical industry is the one that kills me. Like, I can see a lot of benefit to AI in the medical industry, but also if it's not implemented correctly or not used correctly, it could be very detrimental. So like, the one thing I keep telling my wife, the thing she does, I know we're running low on time and I want to power through a couple more things. Mm-hmm. You know, she does a basically it's like an after hours radiology reading sort of thing. So her company has a bunch of radiologists who read, it's not film anymore, but read images. And it's a process, right? It's a long process. And obviously they push their radiologists to read more images, because the more images they read, the more money they make, including the radiologists. Like, they pay the radiologists like per image, which again, I don't want any of my medical professionals that like have like higher quota makes more money for them. Like, that's not the way it should be, but whatever. That's a business practice. We'll move on. You know, they have to read these things and looking for things, and you know, they get pretty good at it, but it's not always simple. And you know, I'm telling them, like, you guys start pushing this stuff through AI where it can like make that initial examination and then have somebody validate it, you know, they'll be able to speed up their work 2, 3, 4-fold, right? But you know, it still needs human eyes. And the issue with it is, you know what's going to happen. Eventually they're going to be like, well, why are we paying humans? Like, it's according to our people, it's 98% right. So let's just not worry about people anymore. You know, and it's like, yeah, we can't do that. But whatever. We'll see where it goes. Okay. We're getting late. John's got a baseball game to go to, so I'm just gonna power through two things here real fast. What's up? Are you gonna say something?
I just said no, I'm good.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say I've just taken over the show. It's my show now. Lyricon EU just happened last week or earlier this week. I've lost track. Days blend now. But they live streamed it for free, and it's on YouTube for free.
That can be...
It's a 5-hour... No, it's a 9-hour video. And like, the last I checked... A
single take.
Yeah, the last I checked, yeah, there's no bookmarks or anything, so you're kind of like scrolling. But it's out there, you know... Nuno, I'm going to watch Nuno. This quality is not good, though.
Found on the reception desk down below.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, I like, love Nuno. I love that guy's energy. See, this guy looks way better. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they did with Nuno's. So, yeah, it's out there. It'll be in the show notes if you're listening to the podcast on audio. Go check out the show notes. Also, kind of along the same lines, I feel like... Maybe what you said, Eric was working, Eric Mann. There's the Laravel, kind of similar in principle. Laravel security scanner, which I guess you add it to your Laravel application and then it watches for vulnerabilities within your application. And this sounds really cool. Like, I really love this sort of thing, provided that it actually works. I came across this. I haven't implemented this yet anywhere. Just FYI, it looks like you have to install something in Go, which is interesting. But I mean, that's not crazy. Like, FrankenPHP is all Go based. So Go is a pretty cool thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this will be out there. It's called Ward Laravel Security Scanner. I don't know if that's the whole thing, it's the word, but yeah, that's out there. Okay. I shared
a link there in chat for you.
Okay. Anything we're sharing on the show?
Yeah. It's to the just get past.
What's this?
No, just get past that. I didn't mean to. I didn't get to the exact second.
Come on. Come on.
I hope you managed to find time to say hi to people, to make friends.
Is that what you want to share?
Things off, just a quick note. If you have lost anything that can be found on the reception desk,
What?
Keep going past them.
Oh, okay.
Down below. Lost and found are on the reception desk down below. You guys ready for the afternoon?
Uh-oh, what's the afternoon? Yes? Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go, Nuno.
And we're starting actually very, very, very strong with a madman. Someone who thought that would be a good idea to have PHP running on mobile devices.
Oh.
I'm, of course, talking about Simon Hamm, the creator of native PHP. Please, a huge warm welcome to Simon Hamm.
Simon.
I thought Shane was speaking, but it's Simon up there.
I don't think I've seen Simon talk yet. Yeah, this is exciting. Why isn't he coming to... Let's move on.
The time. And we spent the summer building the next version of that.
He's got, like, the coolest accent. Like, we hung out with him a pretty good amount of time in Denver. You know, he took the time to come over and say hello and talk to us and everything. And I just love listening to this guy talk. But the funny thing about it, and I don't want to call this guy out. I don't know, like, you know, I could tell when he's been drinking, like, immediately. That guy has a beer, one beer, and I can hear it. Like, this clean, like, clean voice he has, it starts, like, wavering very quickly.
What became?
I'm sure I'm going to get a message in Discord. Hey, man, I'm an AA. You just outed me. Fuck you.
Bifrost itself.
Bifrost.
Which is, I don't know.
Oh, so this must be the talk about the building of Bifrost, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, this is cool. What's up? You say so?
No, I was like, yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if there was two talks, like if Shane did a separate one. So since I haven't watched it, I don't know if we can talk about the other thing that they shared with us. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We were.
Because it was supposed to be announced. Much. It was supposed to be announced here.
Oh.
Remember?
Well, I mean, I think that just gives. I think we're in the clear legally, John. Just share it.
No, I haven't watched it. I'm not doing it.
Look, this guy looks like Timu Taylor. What?
Yeah, I signed a digital NDA via.
I'd like to think of
Discord.
My code like our.
Not to share it till it was public.
That was rude of me calling him a Timu Taylor. Sorry, whatever your name is, I didn't mean that. I'm a dickhead.
Very rude.
Yeah, no, I am. Laravel has got to have the most bald developers of any language out there. Yeah, I don't see Shane. Yeah, so
I didn't see him either. I scrolled through.
All right, yeah, that's the thing, man. Yeah, we do know something, don't we? Damn.
Yeah.
And I didn't share it last week. You know, I wanted to. Unfortunately, this week, yeah, I forgot it.
Zoomy zoom.
Tell you, man.
Archie crashed, by the way.
Archie crashed?
Yeah, your Archie bot crashed. It's not posting or responding to people.
Oh no. That's not good. Let me see if I can talk to him. I have a back channel to him. Let's see.
Well, while you're doing that.
Yep.
I was gonna say we could start to wrap up.
Yeah, we should do that. Oh, he's still around. It's still around, John. It's still around. I'm an ugly individual. I wonder if those babies cry. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see anybody. Oh, there's two. I think there's two Archies. Yeah, so you want the Archie that's online, the green dot Archie.
When you're responding.
Yeah. See, the little eyeballs let you know that's Archie saying that he's reading my message. Okay. Yeah, there we go. So
yeah, that's not confusing. Why are there two Archies?
Well, yeah, I don't even know if that other one does.
Actually, there's two that are offline right now. You're saying?
Well, there's Archie Bot who does the.
No, there are two Archies, like, and an Archie Bot. So there are three Archies and an Archie Bot in our Discord.
There's three Archies?
Yeah. Two that are offline right now.
I should probably just, like, nuke those other bots. Ones. So
that's funny.
I don't even remember what the hell they all do.
Nothing. Obviously, they're offline.
Doesn't mean they don't do anything, John. Oh yeah, look at that. Archie Bot. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so that's there. I'll clean that up for next week's show. See, it looks like Joe actually did ping Archie correctly to remove me from notifications. Yeah, I don't know. I have a special message prepared for Joe as well, just based on my previous experience with Joe. And that's the other thing about why I'm starting to think it was a mistake, because like the stand-ups used to be very stale and like a very kind of boom boom. And so somebody like Joe, you know, he was doing his stand-up throughout the day and then he would just copy and paste and move on. Hmm. Now he's having fucking conversations. It's like, whoa, dude, like just fucking move on. Jesus Christ, you know? So Chris in our Discord as well, you know, I noticed was having a lot of communications with him. So.
Joe's trying to hack your Archie again.
Archie's actually being very nice because I gave Archie very specific way to handle Joe's requests, and Archie did not do that. I need a PHP. We both spoke. Shane is day two at 2.5 hours. So, Simon, did you guys announce what you guys said you were going to announce? We're running long in time, so if you don't respond before the what's the thing called, the delay, we're going to hang up. So we got to go. Bullshit. I mean, if you say we can talk about it, you know, we don't have time to talk about it.
We could just mention it and say, go watch the video that was announced.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think we assume it was announced because we were told about it.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out. And if not, we'll share it on the show next week. We both spoke. All right. We got to go. It's long. I have things to do. This will give you a reason to watch the EU YouTube channel or to tune in next week to find out what the hell we're talking about, because we sure the hell don't know. And that's how we like it.
What do you mean we don't know? Of course we know.
I don't know anything.
Got the inside scoop.
I'm Shane.
Okay, Shane.
You did not answer my question either way. Shane.
I'm Shane, but he spoke in third person then. Shane is day two. Shane, you're killing us. All right. Go watch the video where they announced it, but basically they increased the speed because they're able to render not using web views, which lowered the latency. I forget what he said, from
like a crazy number,
from like 800 milliseconds down to like a millisecond. It was crazy. Good work, job. Or good job, guys. Good work, job. Good job, guys.
And Shane had like, he said he just had like, they spoke at EU whenever EU was, and he like had just cracked that like a few, like the week prior or something. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. So yeah. It's the last 10 minutes of my talk. Okay. So go check out Shane's talk on Laricon EU.
Day two. And
day two. They'll talk a lot more about exactly what all this, you know, the biggest impact is you as a PHP developer, you know, not only can you make mobile apps, but mobile apps that are feeling more like, you know, native apps as far as speed and responsiveness. So, yeah.
700 millisecond down to sub millisecond.
Yeah. That's bonkers to me. So that's the big thing, right? It's just a better experience for whoever's using your application. So check it out. Thank you, Shane, for hanging out and speaking with us. All right. Is that it? Are we done? Can I wrap it up?
Yep.
All right. Are we getting together next week?
Are we here then? Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yes, we weren't supposed to get together this week, actually, and I forgot to mention it. I was supposed to be in Pasadena for Scale.
Oh.
And I just ended up getting sick at the beginning of the week, and then a couple other things came up, and I'm like, I'm not going to go. I might go. I don't know if I'll go tomorrow. I might go on Saturday. But yeah, as it stands right now, I might just skip the whole thing this year, which is kind of disappointing. I like Scale, but yeah. I was supposed to be there, not here, but I'm here with you, John.
I appreciate you being here.
Let's go to a baseball game. All right. That's it.
All righty.
I'm done.
Thank you for listening and hanging out with us. We appreciate you.
I don't appreciate you. I don't thank you. Your ass better be here next week. I won't have it any other way. And like and subscribe and buy my merch. And what else do kids say these days? 6-7? I don't know what that is. Do all those things and make me rich. All right, bye.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.